Gary. Now I'd like to ask our speaker getter, Stephen, to come up and introduce this tonight's speaker.
Hi everyone, my name is Stephen.
Hi Stephen.
Tonight's speaker is a man who has made me laugh, he's made me think, often at the same time. We have shared tears, we have shared sorrow, we have shared anger, and we have shared the road of recovery, and I love him very much, and I would love you all to introduce an incredible man in my life, Paul.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Hi, I'm Paul. Grateful member of this program and many other programs. Gotta tell you, I'm nervous. Gotta tell you, Stephen always reminds me, God's got this. My God is bigger than my addict who's telling me, you're not gonna be able to fill this time. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar, you're a manipulator, you're a fraud. Not true. Used to be. Used to be a liar. Used to be a fraud. Because I'm a people pleaser and I'm a rescuer. It's November 1963, John F. Kennedy got shot. One of my first remembrances, my mom crying. I had no idea why. The President of the United States got shot. And my mom abandoned me. My dad, I have no idea where he was, but I'm sure he was drinking his wine. My dad used to make his own wine. So yeah, I deal with an alcoholic. I've dealt with an alcoholic. He was a rageaholic. My dad would yell and scream for no reason whatsoever. But I wanted to get out of that situation, so I would take the hit. I'd go to my, literally and figuratively, I'd go to my room and just get away, man, because I just couldn't deal with it. I didn't know, I didn't have the tools that this program has given me to go, hey Dad, what's up? Why are you upset? Now I'm sure he had his reasons. He got married to someone that he wasn't in love with. Same with my mom. It was an arranged marriage. They came from Italy at 19 and 17. My aunt, my great aunt, called for my mom to be here because she had lost a child. And she made some kind of deal with my grandmother to send one of her daughters here to fill that void. So my mom and dad came on a boat separately, months apart, to America. And they were unable to conceive me for 13 years. And for my mom, I was like the husband she never had. I took care of my mom from the time that I can remember. From the time I was 3, the time I was 5, we went to Italy, and the first day we went there, my cousin got into a motorcycle accident and died. Everybody was crying again. I was trying to fix it again. Mom, don't cry. Dad, can we go home? What's going on? I have no idea. I'm 5 years old. I want to play with my cousins. Oh, cool. We're in Italy. I have no idea what that means. Everybody's talking Italian. Awesome. I can't understand a word. So yeah, man, so there's trauma, you know, and it's the separation from God then, I feel. And this program teaches me to bring God back into my life. But yeah, every relationship I've been in has always been me rescuing somebody. So much so that I lost who I was because I was so worried about fitting in and doing what they thought. And for me, man, it always goes back to mom and dad. Like, I can tell you stories of this girlfriend and this and that. It's all the same story, man. It all goes back to mom and dad. In fact, so much so that I've dated my mom or my dad in each relationship. Either the woman was an unrecovered Al-Anon, my mom, or a rageaholic, like my dad. And I always tried to fix that by going out with these women. And it never worked. It never worked until I surrendered. I surrendered in this program. And I asked God every day, you know, to let me be of service. Stephen, thank you so much. Like, Stephen asked me a month ago, hey, dude, would you mind speaking? And I was like, dude, are you crazy? Can't you get somebody else to do this? I don't have enough time. I don't have 30, 40, 50 years in this program. But I do have recovery in this program. And I'll tell you a little bit about it, you know, as the night goes on. I got nothing planned. I'm going to let God do the talking. I'm just going to be the messenger, man. I'm just going to be the messenger. Nick and all the birthday takers, happy birthday. Pablo, welcome. We were all newcomers, man. I was a newcomer. Everyone in this room, pretty much, that I know or don't know, was a newcomer one day. And we kept coming back. I went to the men's stag meeting last night. I don't want to go. It's New Year's Day. But I had a commitment. I'm the timer of that meeting. I take my commitment seriously. I'm of service. Because it just takes me, it doesn't matter how long you're in this program, it just takes one time to go, nah, I think I'll do this instead. Nah, I think I'll rescue this. Nah, I think I'll move this woman into my house and pay for everything. Wait, there's more. I think I'll move her kids in too. Wait, there's more. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't have a house. But again, I didn't have the tools. You know, I was just like, oh, really? You love me? Awesome. Let's move in together. Yeah, that's, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting it to change. I was working in Panama City, Florida. And I was working at a radio station, and a woman would call me from California. She was in the same business. She was trying to get information about what songs were to play. She was Italian. I was Italian. We started talking. Oh my God, we're gonna have Italian kids with beautiful curly hair. Her parents were Italian. My parents are obviously Italian. And so I moved from Florida, took my stuff back to Cleveland. She flew out from California to Cleveland, and we drove across country and we said, if we can make it 3 days through the United States of America, we can make it through anything. I told her on the phone I was gonna marry her. I did. That's the insanity, man. That's the insanity. Without getting to know somebody, I will move cross country to be with you because I just want you to love me. I will do anything just so that you love me. And that's what it all comes down to. I feel in this program and all of the programs, we do what we do, whatever it is, gambling, smoking, drugs, whatever. Because of love, we're looking to find that love from somebody or something or numb that pain that we don't feel the love. God is the love, man. God is here. You know, God loves cake. He's here right now having chocolate and vanilla cake. It's true, man. My sponsor would always tell me that. It's like, God's here, man. God's everywhere. You know, God loves a party. You know, it's just amazing. You know, once you have God, once you have a higher power of your understanding, I was raised Catholic. You know, I did you know, communion and baptism and confirmation and all that stuff. When I got into the program and they said, you can have a God of your understanding, whatever you think that is. Oh my God, really? I can call that? I don't have to go to church every Sunday? Not that it's bad if you do. But I go to meetings, that's my church. These guys, Thursday night, are my church. Other meetings that I go to, when I first got into Al-Anon, I took a commitment at the Friday night meeting on Pass Avenue, and I was the timer. I was the Nazi timer, because you went over your time, man. There's somebody else, man. There's somebody else that needs to talk. Don't go on and on, man. Wrap it up. I gotta talk, man. You know, I was gonna talk, but that guy went over, and I'm not gonna be able to. That's just me, man. Talk as much as you want. I don't know. See how long I can talk for here. It's my attic was going. You're not gonna be able to fill the time, man. You don't have enough recovery. There ain't no way. You're gonna talk for. I kept asking, is it really? Do I have to really talk for that long? Dude, talk as long as you want. There's nobody going, oh, came up a little bit short. We might end the evening a little bit early. Oh. Good, there's an after party, in case you didn't know, over Hill Street. There'll be a band there and everything. No, it's so funny, man, the ego. It's just a terrible thing. You know, it's great. I love all the acronyms that we have in this program. I'm kind of the king in acronyms, Ask Nick. I throw it on them all the time. Ego, man, edging God out. Some of you may have heard this, some of you may have not. In this program, I learned Q-tip, quit taking it personally. I take everything personally. What do you mean you don't want to go out with me? Why don't you want to go out with me? What, was it something that I wore? Did I not wear? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You get to a point in your life where, you know, when you're younger, you want to look cool and be cool and all that stuff. You get, you know, surrender, I guess, is what you guys call it, what I call it. Surrender and acceptance, man. It's really great. And it doesn't mean giving up. It's just like, oh, okay, I'm powerless. I am powerless over the alcoholic. I'm powerless over my dad. Funny story. My dad used to make his own wine, right? And my friends would come over, and my dad would go, do you want some Red Pop? And they're like, yeah, Red Pop. And my dad would put like 7-Up in the wine and give it to him. Here you go. Have a little Red Pop. Awesome, Dad. The wine junkie, you know? Here you go. But yeah, I mean, that's my dad, you know? And it's that societal thing. You know, being in the Italian household, you know, everything is family, everything is loyalty, everything is don't tell anybody what we're doing. My mom would always tell me, keep a secret, don't tell your father. My dad always found out. He knew. He knew whatever it was, whatever lie or manipulation or whatever she was doing. And I would have to like, Dad, I think we should do this. What? What are you doing that for? That'll never work. God, if I had a dollar for every time my dad said that'll never work, which made me strong, man. I was like, oh, really? You don't think I can do that? You don't think I get paid to be a disc jockey? Even though I bought all these albums and these turntables and a microphone, I did, man. And my dad said, oh, what'd you do that for? Well, to make some extra money, to do weddings and stuff like that. Yeah. And that made me stronger. You know, I feel myself as a survivalist, man. I think we survive. You know, we just got finished with the Bermuda Triangle of holidays. Like, welcome, man. You got through Thanksgiving, you got through Christmas, and you got through New Year's. You're here. Thank God, right? We made it. Or maybe you didn't, and you're still like spinning out about that. Christmas really sucked. This year, but it didn't for me, and I'll tell you about that maybe now, maybe later, I don't know. I do remember Christmases in the past. My dad worked on a variety of shifts. He was a steel worker, U.S. Steel, in Cleveland, Ohio. And he would work like 3 days, a couple nights, then he'd be off an afternoon, so we never really knew what mood he was going to wake up in, where would we, if we'd be going over somebody's house that we were invited for. So people would always ask me, so how was your Christmas or how was your Thanksgiving? And I can't remember. I can't remember because I was so concerned with, oh, Dad is going to be upset, you know. And we would go to parties. My dad was always known as the first one to get there, the first one to leave, because he just couldn't stand, you know, staying there. But if he drank, he was okay. He was a jolly guy when he drank. And, but he was unavailable to me at night, you know. We would eat, my dad would drink his wine, and then he'd go on the couch and pass out. So he was emotionally unavailable, as they say. And my mom smothered me. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And so it was, you know, the yin and the yang of everything, man. And I was trying to find the balance. Like, what was it, Stephen? Emotionally incestual with my mom. Like, I was the husband that my dad never was. I was making adult decisions as an 8-year-old, as a 10-year-old. And I shouldn't have had to. I should be wondering when I was going to go out and play with my friends and when I had to be home. But I'm making decisions because she couldn't, or she was so afraid to. My dad yelling at me made me afraid to talk to men. I remember the first time I walked into this room with all these men, they were all my father. And then someone said, we love you. I love you. And I believed it because they did. And they hugged me and they told me their experience, strength, and hope. And it gave me hope. It gave me hope every day, like, oh, things aren't that bad. You know, being alone in my brain is a dangerous place, man. I'm an only child, so I had no brother or sister to talk to about any of the situations that I went through. I had to figure stuff out all by myself. And I would go to my mom about it, but she's my mom. So she doesn't have the perspective of a child. So that was difficult, and I couldn't talk to my dad because he would just yell at me, which made me fearful of men until I got it in this room, until I got in the program, that I could be honest with another dude and just go, hey, here it is. I trust you. And when you don't trust your mom and your dad, it's hard really to trust anybody. It took me a long time to trust people in this program. But what choice have I got, man? Because what I was doing wasn't working out. And I tried. I tried every which way. I tried being nice. I tried being difficult. And I turned into, when I was dating these women, I would be the opposite. If they were a rageaholic, I was the unrecovered Al-Anon. If they were the unrecovered Al-Anon, I was a rageaholic. I learned that from my parents. I wasn't born as a rageaholic. I wasn't born an unrecovered Al-Anon. I was born a child of God. I was born to be of service to others. I was born to love. We're all born to love each other, man. If we can just get to that every day, and it's difficult. You know, I get it, easier said than done, but you know what? There's these 12 steps that I keep hearing about that are pretty amazing that I love, man. I love the 12 steps because I found out who I was with your help. With your help, it was just like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh. Another acronym that I love. I was going through a difficult time with my girlfriend, and I was trying to defend or explain and justify or argue. And I heard the acronym JADE. You don't have to justify. You don't have to argue. You don't have to defend. You don't have to explain. Really? There's no way, man. I gotta get into it with somebody. I'm Italian, man. Come on. Someone's going down. And it ain't me. you know? I'm an asshole, man. I used to be an asshole. Like, I would just, like, keep going until I won. Because no matter how badly I hurt someone, they weren't going to hurt me. And I would get them to back down. Awesome. I'm so proud of that. Such an asshole. But I don't do that anymore. I don't need to do that anymore. I've heard in this program, you're not responsible for your first thought. You're responsible for your second thought and your first action. I take pause, man. Now, when I think I need to, like, get into it with someone, and it doesn't matter if it's a girlfriend or a coworker or my mom or my dad. Well, my dad's passed now, so we'll never get into it again. But yeah, is this the hill I want to die on today? Really? No, man. No. I want to find a compromise. I want to find a solution. That's what the program offers me, a solution. Hey, there's a solution. I can admit that I'm powerless and my life has become unmanageable. Came to believe in a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. I never got the second part. I was like, oh yeah, I believe in God. No big deal. That could restore me to sanity. Impossible. There's no way that someone could restore me to sanity. But it's true. I've been restored to sanity. You know? Three, man. They just keep going, man. They just keep going. And they're amazing. You know? Acceptance and surrender. It's always 1, 2, and 3 for me every day. 4, 5, and 6. It's inventory. Et cetera, et cetera. But when I get into a situation and I don't know what to do, now I can call somebody and go, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about this. I've done this before. It hasn't worked. Do you have any experience, strength, or hope that you can give me? You do? No. Does that work, really? I could write about it? No. I don't like pen and paper. Who does that anymore? It's so 1980s. But it's connecting, you know? It's connecting the mind to the hand all the way down. That's why we write. That's why I write. I don't do enough writing as it is. I need to do more, but it's there. I know the phones are really big and heavy, especially nowadays. But making a phone call, man, has saved my life more often than not. I used to call Stephen 3 and 4 times a day, like, oh my God, my mom is driving me crazy. I moved my mom out. My dad died a couple years ago, and I moved my mom out. I had my mom, let me back up. I thought about having my mom come out for Christmas and New Year's a couple years ago. I was like, oh, you know, and then she can go back to Cleveland and, you know, do whatever she does in Cleveland, which is nothing. And then, so she comes out and, you know, we had an okay Christmas. And then my birthday is in 18 days. And somewhere between January 1st and my birthday, she's like, oh, let me stay for your birthday. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, why not? It's another 18 days. with my mom in my house. I love my mom. I used to hate her when she came. I used to hate her because she used to treat me like a child. Like I was still 5 years old. And I guess mothers do that. You know? I guess you're always, you know, young to your mom. But because of this program, because of suggestions, because of the work that I've done, when you change the behavior, people around you change. I can't change my mom. Bless you. My mom is who she is. I'm okay with that, but I can change. The only person I'm responsible for is me. I'm not responsible for my mom. My mom's got her higher power, and she prays the rosary, and God bless her. But I can change me. And once I noticed, when I started changing, my mom started changing. My mom didn't drive me crazy. My mom and I have adult conversations now. My mom has told me some crazy shit from my past that I have completely forgotten, that, you know, about my dad, about me, about everything. She's gonna be 90 years old in March. God bless her, man. And I am grateful every day that she can tell me this stuff. And I was like, you know, I've heard stories about that. I heard about Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim used to come over, my dad's brother used to come over. And he'd go, Paul, go get me a beer. I was like, sure, Uncle Jim, I'm a people pleaser, I'll go get you a beer. And I'd open it up and I'd pour it in, and him and my dad would talk about, you know, all these stories. So my uncle was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My grandmother, like, dude, I come from a long list of alcoholics, and I'm the perfect people pleaser, or was. And now I don't as much. I don't people please as much. I only do things if I want to, but I don't do it because I hope that'll make you feel better. And I can't tell you the amount of times I told my mom no, or I've just like said, okay, and like walked away. And not getting into the, because my mom is the one that installed all those buttons that she likes to push. And she doesn't do it anymore. You know, she doesn't do it. I can just walk away. Steven told me that. And I was like, what do you mean? I just walk. I can just get up and leave? What? Just get up and leave. No, I've got to finish the argument, and then she's got to lose because I got to win. No, just walk away. Okay, so I tried it. Me and my mom got into something. I was like, okay, mom. I walked away. Where are you going? Huh? Going. I'm not telling you. Out. Where are you going? Out. You know, like when you were a kid. Hey, where are you going? Out. Yeah, man. It's great. God, I love this program. I love you guys, man. The insanity of, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But it's great, you know, it's great to just come back and just go, wow. In the short amount of time I've been in this program, like, I'm one bad idea from, you know, going back out there thinking, I got, God, thank you, I got it. Good night. I got it, man. That's all I'm going to be able to learn. And every time I come into a meeting, I might be feeling like crap, and I'd be like, oh, man, I'm so glad I went to that meeting. I'm so glad I went to that meeting last night. There were like 10 of us. Not a big deal. I get stuff from you guys. I forget if I don't come to meetings. I forget about how to do this program. I forget about how to do life. I just forget. We are so overwhelmed with media and Facebook and all that crap, man. You know, look at me. I've done this. Look at me. I'm here at the, you know, wherever you are, whatever it is. You know? I mean, it's cool to check in with people from far away. You don't know what's going on. But man, it could be a real trigger, you know? And sometimes you just got to turn Facebook off and pray and just go, okay, God. I am really, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get on Facebook and it's like, wow, it's time for dinner. How did that happen? Yeah, man, it's addictive, you know, it's another addiction, I'm sure. There's probably Facebook Anonymous somewhere. might as well be, right? Yeah. But we have Alan on. We have each other, man. We have, look at how many people are here tonight. I mean, I know you all came out to see me because I got billboards and I put it on Facebook and I send out invites. No, that's what the ego wants to say. You know, Steve and I were talking about backstage passes and then having an after party and charging everybody. You know, that's the ego, man. That's egging God out. I'm not, man. I'm just a regular guy. I put on a suit because it's respectful to do that in front of you guys. It's respectful of the program. I take this program seriously, man. Very seriously. I think about it all the time. I think about how I can be of service. I think about when I go to visit my mom. I visit my mom 5 times a week. I have lunch with her. We talk like adults. Not for any reason than for me to be of service to her. She had a hard life, man. She lived with a guy that yelled at her for 69 years. 69 years my parents were married. My mom didn't know to get a divorce. They're Catholic, they would never do that. So funny. My mom told me. My dad went to my aunt when they were first here. And my dad said, oh, I'm thinking about leaving Tanina, my mom's name. And my aunt, my great aunt goes, go ahead, leave her. I know some people. You won't be here very much longer. Honest to God, man, honest to God. I don't know. My grandmother, my great aunt was connected. I don't know, or she knew people. She was in a club. She was in the Italian club. I don't know, probably. But it was so funny that my great aunt called my dad's bluff. You know, my dad's like, I'm gonna leave her. Oh, go ahead, yeah, go ahead. My dad didn't, obviously. Yeah, man, that's the kind of manipulation that was used on my dad and my mom to keep them in fear, to keep me in fear, so that I didn't go, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. Can we talk about that? You know, and I was from the generation where you sat quietly in the corner and for me ate food, because I'm Italian, while the parents went and drank and played cards and the women gossiped. In Italian. Great fun for me. But they didn't want to pay for a babysitter because they didn't have money to. And they couldn't leave me at home because I was too young. So I would go and find food to eat, and they would go and drink and eat and gossip. I was alone, man. I was alone. So yeah, so when, you know, I was able to date, like, you want to go out with me? Okay, what do I need to do? And we were from that, you know, my parents were that way too. My mom, every time we went over to somebody's house, she would bring something. So I thought, oh, you have to buy something for somebody in order for them to be your friend. You have to take a girl to dinner, or you have to buy her flowers, or you have to do this, or you have to do that in order for them to be interested in you. Until I met a woman and said, you don't have to do that. And I went, what? What do you mean I don't have to do that? Yes, I do. I've always done that. No, I like you the way you are. Wait, that's impossible. Who are you? What is wrong with you? There must be something wrong. Two stories about God. There's probably plenty more. These just came to me. God just said, hey, mention these two. So if you're having a problem with God, let me tell you these two stories. I ride a motorcycle. So with a group of guys. And we're going down Topanga towards PCH. Funny, I'm doing a fourth step in another program, so I'm pissed, right? car in front of me in it, you know. Can't believe they're going so slow. So we're going down to Topanga, and there's a truck in front of me, and I didn't know it at the time, but another truck in front of that truck. And I'm in a left-hand lane, and I forgot that you can actually turn left on some of the side streets on Topanga. So we're going down, and all of a sudden, I guess the truck in front of the truck that I was behind stopped. The truck in front of me stopped. And I thought to myself, this isn't gonna end well. So I grabbed my clutch and I thought I was sliding and I closed my eyes. They said I went flying through the air with my motorcycle following me in the air. All I remember was coming to, sliding on Topanga. I should have cracked my head open. I should have broke a leg. I should have broke an arm. I should have broke something, a hip, something. But I went flying through the air, came up, was a little bit dizzy. Had a little bit of road rash, and I was okay. What? So, I don't know, if that's not God going, wait a minute, just, okay. Land here, it'll be okay, I'll take care of you. Fourth step isn't really that bad. slow down. Ever since that time, I slowed down. I never rode as aggressive as I used to, because I thought I was Joe Biker, you know. And I wasn't. I was just a guy riding a motorcycle with a bunch of guys. So there's God. You may say coincidence, lucky, whatever. I believe it's God. 4 years ago, I was one of those kids that always had an ear infection. When I was a kid. 4 years ago, I had this incredible earache. And I went to the doctor and he gave me some antibiotics. It didn't work. Then I was like, well, you know what? I used to go to a specialist. I used to go to an ENT. Let me go to an ENT and see what happens. So I go to the ENT and I'm like, hey, I've got this earache. I don't know if there's something you can do. And she's like, well, let me run this tube through your through your nasal cavity and see what's going on. And she runs the instrument down and she goes, there's a lump. And I said, there's a lump? She goes, yeah. I said, cancer? She said, well, we don't know. We're gonna have to take a biopsy. It's cancer. Cancer sucks, man. I had to go for the chemo. I had to go for radiation. I don't know how many of you know me before I had cancer, but I weighed like 350 pounds. I lost 125 pounds. Thank God I had 125 pounds to give, or else, who knows. During that time, there were days that I didn't want to go on. And I'll leave the graphic details out, but you can imagine it wasn't pleasant. I wasn't eating a lot, obviously, hence the loss of 125 pounds. And there were days that I didn't want to go on, to be truthfully honest. And I had these two angels that came by every day these two men, because I knew if I would have brought a woman in, I would have turned her into my girlfriend, I would have made her hate me, and it would have been a bad scene. So these two men who were sent by God came practically every day and kept me company and kept me alive and were just there so that I wasn't alone. Yeah. I don't know. Cancer's gone. In another year, I'll be cured, is what the doctor said. I'm still here, man. Still work to do. Still ways for me to be of service. So I don't know, that's God. I believe. Because there were days I didn't want to go on. I'm just like, just take me home, man. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, man. I don't want to do this anymore. I gave up on myself, but God didn't. These two men that came over didn't. You know, the ego. I didn't want to tell anybody I had cancer. Cancer. Did you smoke? Yeah, I smoked. I quit, though. I didn't think I'd get cancer, but I did. But God has given me new life. And what am I going to do with it? What are we going to do with it, man? What are we going to do with our lives? I don't know. I'm going to love you. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. I'm going to be available for a phone call. I'm going to be of service at meetings. I'm going to do everything that this program teaches me. I'm going to look for that spiritual awakening every day. That light to come in into my dark world, which was really dark. Really dark when I had cancer. And every day I am grateful, man. I am grateful every day that I get to breathe and that God wakes me up and says, hey, I got stuff for you to do today. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Stephen asked me to be here tonight. My addict said no. God, I'm doing pretty good, man. I didn't think I'd make this amount of time. I talk to Nick just about every morning. He calls me. Stephen calls me. So many guys in this program call me. I'm grateful and honored and blessed that you guys see something in me that maybe I didn't see or haven't seen or can't see. So many guys before this even started tonight, like, hey, you're gonna be great. Hey, don't worry about it. Hey, God's got, like, thank you all. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you so much. You have no idea what that means to an only child who didn't have brothers and sisters. You guys are my brothers and my sisters, man. And I appreciate it every day. That's it, huh? Is that good?